this is, let's say, one of the starting points, how we learn about materials and these resources that we use to produce them, and how can we better manage that and use it better, basically. So packaging is, yeah, a great starting point to all of us realizing the value of colors, materials, and finishes, and how we can change our economy.
So we're going to try something new on Package Design Unboxed. We're going to release a series of actionable how-to episodes that begin with Katie Kubrak of Nirvana CPH in London, and she's going to be sharing her 10 commandments of sustainable design. This episode is going to provide a lot of insight into new ways to guide clients, guide those discussions, and help move them into more sustainable practices. All right, so let's kick this off.
Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Sorry. Okay, I'm going to stop laughing now.
We're good. Okay. All right, thanks for joining us. Katie Kubrak, Materials and Insights Producer at Nirvana CPH out of London. Thank you for joining us once again. So glad to have you on.
It's so great. Great to be back on. This is even more exciting.
Awesome. So what we're going to share today is 10 commandments of sustainable design, which is really important as sustainability is so critical in design today. But as packaging designers, a lot of times we don't know where to begin. So this gives us the groundwork for what to consider and how to begin the process. So Katie, I think we just jump right in.
Let's jump in. So the first point from the sustainable 10 commandments of sustainable design is rethink and redesign the creative process. So that means you start with the CMF and material-driven design before actually designing aesthetics. And, you know, we've spoken quite about this to an extent in the other episode.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the first commandment, you know, you came off the mountain with these commandments, right? Is not beginning with visual design, you know, having it in mind, but really thinking about the materials and the overall process first.
Exactly. So just being more considerate and maybe questioning the kind of process that you were designing with to start with, and seeing where are the hotspots that you can improve on, and consider the CMF and sustainability just a bit more.
Excellent. Perfect. What is commandment number two?
Recognize the life cycle and all associated terminology that comes with colors, materials, and finishes which are available to you. So for instance, if you're is your material linear, is it recyclable, is it organic material, or is it vegan material, etc.
Okay, so looking at the life cycle of all the materials that are available to you for this packaging design.
Yeah, I mean, let's not go crazy, because you know, you can have like thousands of papers that you can choose from. But initially, we'll have some kind of selection, right? So then it's about understanding if, let's say, you have 10 papers, you know, what are the post-consumer recycled content in it? You know, what's that? And then what sort of sustainable energy has been used in order to make this process? You know, is it FSC certified or is it not?
Sure.
Number
three. Number three.
Review legislation and end-of-life infrastructure that will be processing, that will be used for processing your product at the point of death. So, you know, that kind of gives you another layer before you start designing.
Okay. And so I spoke to Tom Zaki of TerraCycle about this a little bit, because in the US, and I'm sure it's the same in the UK, is depending on the geography of the region that you're in, the collection of materials and what is recycled is going to vary. So, you know, he said, you know, his approach was wherever your product is going to live, you know, you have to do all the research and see what materials they are even recycling. It's not a matter of, is it recyclable, but are they willing to recycle it?
That's true. And especially when it comes to those more novel materials, it gets really tricky and sticky, because the infrastructure most likely and most often is just not there. Therefore, depending what kind of sustainable story you want to write, or, you know, service that you might want to design around collection of certain waste and then disposing it on your own back, basically, yeah, depends where you, on the legislation within that particular region as well.
Absolutely.
So. Number four. Replace the materials used in the past with more sustainable alternatives that are a fit for the infrastructure at hand. And you can also consider where you can invest as a brand in order to make these more efficient and perhaps increase the recovery rates. So for instance, you know, if you are using for 100% virgin paper, you can replace that with paper that, let's say, has 50%, 40%, or maybe even 100% of recycled content in it. And therefore, you know, is there anything that you can do as well within your particular geography? Is there anything in particular that you can do to increase the recovery rates? Or is there certain communication that you can have with your consumer to guide them, you know, how to dispose of it?
Sure. No, perfect. Yeah, one of the things I've worked on in the past was creating a system where the packaging already had a prepaid address on the bottom of it, so that when you were done with your product, you can just fold it up, put it in the mail, and it went to one location where they actually collected all of it until it got to the volumes that they needed in order to recycle it. And they would then separate the lamination, they would separate all the foils, all the things, and then, you know, repurpose it. There's definitely ways to do that.
Exactly. Like Tyvek is one of the interesting materials as well that I found out recently. Well, not so recently anymore, but at some point in my experience with Tyvek was that, you know, there are particular people in UK that basically collect big batches of Tyvek and then they can recycle it. Whereas conventional recycling might not be able to process it for recycling.
Sure.
Number five.
Number five.
Reduce the number of materials you use. So it could also, you know, be extended, reduced the number of products that you release annually. And rather than creating, let's say, 10 products, make 5, but create new services around it so that, you know, you're still finding the economics of it, which are similar to what you would get if you were to release 10 products. A great example is like Adidas Futurecraft Loop. I'm not sure if you came across it, but it's basically taking that kind of multi-material sneaker and making it out of just one material. So it's reducing the number of materials that they use, you know, reducing number of products they can produce as well. And then, you know, reducing the weight, all the different reductions that they've made with it in order to make it more sustainable.
Excellent. And I think that goes not only for product, but then also for packaging. A lot of times, yeah. You know, we're creating packaging that can serve multi-purposes. And that's one of the things I know that I do with my clients is if they've got 20 products, is there a way that we can create maybe one box or two or three boxes,
exactly, instead of
three different boxes or three packs that we can just swap out maybe a sleeve or add a label to differentiate all the colors to just really reduce the number of
items, yeah,
packs,
yeah,
and materials that go into all those things. Absolutely.
Exactly, because then you create efficiencies on top of that, then you can be more mindful about, you know, are we reducing the use of water, are we reducing the use of energy that we're making, that we're using when we're making this, etc. And you know, these are so important, energy and water. It's another topic. Absolutely. We can dive into.
Excellent. So we're on number six.
Yes. Rejuvenate sustainable design aesthetics through innovation and creativity fueled by material-driven design and CMF design approach. So great example of that is something that Unilever has been doing actually for Loop, which I know Tom's mentioned as well when you were speaking to him. They're you know, now investing into this like refillable packaging, which is basically giving not only new aesthetics to the deodorants, for instance, or their Hellmann's mayonnaise packaging, but at the same time, it's giving this new rejuvenated aesthetic to something that's considered sustainable. Because I'm sure you've came across a lot of stigma around sustainable design and people being maybe a bit worried that it's not going to look, you know, cool enough or good enough. And that kind of, you know, material driven approach can actually rejuvenate that as well.
That's great. Yeah. And in the US, we, a lot of times when you run into, when you talk to a brand about going into more sustainable packaging, their concern is that the packaging is going to feel very granola. That's the term.
That tickled me. It's an interesting way to describe. I think here we often come across as like tacky, not cool enough, too hippie.
Yeah, exactly.
but there's perfect. Cool stuff to be made, seriously. Just
no, absolutely.
Open mind is key.
And Tom's example, you know, Tom's loop is definitely the way, is one of the ways that you can make something sustainable and cool.
Exactly.
And new.
And all the this packaging design that's being made for this, it just looks so cool. So cool.
And number seven.
Number seven is repair and refurbish through modularity, life cycle consideration, and service design around your product. So basically, you know, by creating your, and it could be product or packaging, like everything that I'm saying, right? It can be quite flexible when it comes to the application. So, you know, how can you design your packaging, for instance, for repair? So if you're shipping your products and your consumer can send you back the packaging, you know, is there a way that you can repair it and then send it back? I think one of the startups called Gerard Street is a really interesting example for this, because what they essentially did is they designed this beautiful, you know, great sound quality headphone set, basically, that you can subscribe to and you get for like £8 or £10 or dollars a month. You get basically like £300, $300 kind of quality of a headphone. But then once you're done with it, you send it back to them in their original packaging, and then they refurbish the product and then they reuse the packaging as well, which is, you know, giving that additional life to the materials and resources that went into creating that product in the first place.
Sure. And I'll assume from a brand's perspective, it's less costly to repair than to reproduce.
Exactly. And just think about it. If, let's say, you know, I get the pair of headphones and I use it for a year, I'm not doing really great mathematics here, but let's say it costs me £100 a year, right? And then they're worth £300, right? And that's already including their markup. So the all the costs would be maybe like at 150. So then, I've already spent £100 with them. I send it back, don't want it anymore. You know, I want, let's say, a new pair, or I just don't want headphones at the moment. And then they refurbish it, they clean it, and they give it to you, for instance, because you're their next subscriber. And then you have it for another year, and that's another £100. And then, you know, that can be multiplied, let's say, through next 10 years. And at the end of the day, they've invested into making this product and packaging just once. I mean, packaging might, you know, get destroyed or damaged in transit to an extent, but still, you're designing for that service. That's almost like a return. And your company is long-term benefiting from investing into making something just once and repairing it.
With, I'm going to be honest with you, Katie. I forgot what number we're on.
We're at number eight. I've got my paper here where I'm like making the marks. So yeah, number eight is reuse packaging and products. And reuse means essentially extending the life loop of the same product without modifying it or repairing it in any way. And this basically can help to make the production cost, in terms of the environmental cost, neutral. And I feel a good example for this is Able & Cole. It's a company here in UK, which basically distributes groceries and food, fresh produce, etc. And what they do is they send you their stuff. So, you know, your apples, your bananas, your everything in those cardboard boxes. And then these boxes are being collected by the delivery guy the next week. So instead of just leaving them with you, they keep collecting them and they reuse them from between like 6 to 10 times. So when you think about paper being that mixed loop product, you know, before these cellulose fibers go into an actual next loop of being made into something new, they have these, you know, additional 6 to 10 times life. Yeah, so it's just extended. So I think that's a great example of that.
It's excellent. And it, you know, in terms of the reuse, you know, it becomes important when you're doing the material selection at the beginning, just knowing that the goal is that it's reused multiple times. So then instead of maybe selecting something that has a weaker fiber content, something that is stronger so that it can last, you know, it can be durable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Number nine.
Well, we're getting close. Yes. So number nine is recycle all pre-consumer waste from the production while ensuring that all products are designed for death. So that means basically designing for recycling the post-consumer waste, or perhaps giving it into energy recovery. But recycling is the key, is the goal. So we can make sure that the material value keeps in those circular economy material flow loops, basically. And I think a good example for that is something that I came across at one of the conferences where L'Oréal basically teamed up with a paper mill from Italy. And so L'Oréal collected a lot of their pre-consumer facing transit packaging, which normally would go to waste. So they took it and they reused it recycled it into new paper, like premium feeling black paper that then they later want to trial using as their premium packaging. So it's also, it's an interesting way of recycling because it's showing that brands as well, like long-term, they can take ownership of their materials. And I actually see it as one of the big trends which are just starting, that we'll see a lot of brands in the future just taking ownership of their materials, of their waste, and creating their own materials, which will be branded and which will be stronger differentiators between the different brands.
No, I love that. In terms of recycling, not just recycling for post-consumer, but recycling pre-consumer and then turning that into something new that's ownable by the brand.
Exactly. Yeah. So staying within that circular economy model and making sure we make best use and we better manage our waste, basically.
Oh, absolutely. So we've got, we're down to the last one.
Well, 10. Final one, drum roll.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regenerate and replenish all consumed resources by promoting basically sustainable management of resources. And something that could be a great example for this is what Timberland did with pledging to plant 50 million trees across the period of 5 years. They released it in a campaign called Nature Needs Heroes with the slogan, plant the change. So all very beautiful and nicely said, but you know, it's trying to acknowledge that there are resources that we as a brand can be consuming, and therefore finding ways to help replenish those or regenerate. Obviously, you know, if it's cotton, then it's maybe investing in generative agriculture practices and ensuring that, you know, the cotton that you use is organic. And for instance, it's then fed with drip technology in order to just minimize use of water in the entire production process, right? So yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. So we've got the top 10, it's not even the top 10, right? It's the 10 commandments of sustainable design. And I think from a packaging perspective, it isn't, It isn't like this is what you have to do every single time.
No.
I think it's important that you just maybe consider this list
in your design process. Exactly.
But it's not only for packaging, right? This is for product. This is for anything that you're creating.
Exactly. Anything into for sustainability. But, you know, packaging is such a key element of, you know, going forward and building a better and sustainable future for us all. And, you know, this is, let's say, one of the starting points, how we learn about materials and these resources that we use to produce them, and how can we better manage that and use it better, basically. So packaging is, yeah, a great starting point to all of us realizing the value of colors, materials, and finishes, and how we can change our economy, basically, if we just use it just ever so slightly differently.
So if you're a designer listening to this,
yeah,
if you're a packaging designer listening to this episode, and thinking, you know, I want to get started on sustainable design, or I want to implement more sustainability into my packaging design,
yeah,
just know that as a packaging designer, it's not your job to graphics on a box. Your position is to create this story for the brand that connects with consumers. But then the flip side, it's a great opportunity for you to then educate the brand and educate the manufacturer on some of these different sustainable things, or, you know, ask the questions to have that dialogue.
Exactly.
So that you can help move us as an industry into a more sustainable position.
Exactly. Exactly. And these, you know, 10 commandments, they're just, let's say, pointers to get you start thinking about the whole design process of packaging slightly differently, and you know, perhaps question, oh, you know, what could we replenish or regenerate if we're using paper, glass, or metal? You know, what could be reused, how we could design maybe some repair services for our packaging, so we can just like keep reusing it. Because perhaps, you know, let's say if you're not a super luxury brand which really values this newness, then perhaps it's fine, you know, like, you know, if you're like Amazon, for instance, you're super huge, and perhaps, you know, you don't really need to keep using virgin materials for your products. Or, I mean, I'm not saying they're using just virgin, because it's mainly craft, which has a high component of recycled material. But, right, you know, if you're with
Amazon and you're listening to this,
yes,
and I know you are,
yes,
you know, I would love to see a Amazon collection service. Right. I have enough Amazon boxes that I can put them out once a week, and as the drivers are driving through making deliveries, they can pick up those boxes, and I would be happy to receive my product in a used Amazon box.
Exactly, right?
Because I know it can be reused again.
Exactly. And, you know, there's been so much bad press as well for Amazon in terms of just, you know, sending huge box with a small item inside. And it is a waste of space. But in that context, if you were to collect it and reuse it then for a bigger product, and then again collect it and reuse it for a medium product, etc., it makes a bit more sense.
Absolutely.
So
Katie, I think, yeah, you and I are changing the way Amazon works.
Yes, step by step. Wait. I mean, Amazon, we're waiting for your call.
Yes. Okay. Well, Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate this. I appreciate you for appearing twice on the show. And I think this 10 Commandments is definitely a great way for designers to begin learning more about sustainability.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. I'll have...
my little brick.
Absolutely. It's one brick at a time. So what, yeah, we'll do is I'll have all the links to you and some resources as well.
Amazing.
And we'll share this with everyone. I can't wait to put this out.
Amazing. And if anything, anyone has any more questions, just, yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn or go to our website at nirvanacph.com.
Katie, thank you so much. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
That was Katie Kubrak with 10 Commandments of Sustainable Design. Check out the show notes for all the links on how to connect with Katie directly. Please take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe. It's a huge help. This is Package Design Unboxed with me, your host, Evelio Matos. Thank you once again to Katie, and thanks to you for listening. Talk soon.